finally, we are back once again with yet another exciting episode of Rick's Horror Review Show. Rick's Radar Horror Movie Review Show, where we review absolutely everything and anything that is related to horror. Horror movies, horror TV shows, horror documentaries, horror YouTube shorts, horror video games, horror prime time specials from the 1990s featuring
Barbara Walters.
And I'm here now. Hell, we've reviewed the top 10 gimmicks in all of horror wrestling. Not of horror wrestling, top 10 gimmicks in horror in wrestling. And we also did a horror experience down in Mexico because we are around here. We absolutely love that shit. But if I am honest with you, there's one thing you can count about. Or there's one thing you can count on from this show. It's not entertainment. No, it's honesty. It is one type of horror that I really tend to gravitate towards. More so than others. As a consequence of its mass, of course, it's got greater gravitational pull. And that's horror that has to deal with the Catholic Church. And you can't have Catholic Church horror without some demonic possession, can you? No, of course not. But it's not the only type of horror I really enjoy. Hell, I just had a conversation with Steve Jeezy from We Are The Men podcast. And we talked about found footage horror. I love that shit too. But let's not forget about the zombies that just want to eat your brains. Nothing wrong with that. Even zombies get a little hungry. And of course, vampires that just want to suck a little bit of your blood out. It's no big deal. Hell, they might turn you into a vampire after 10 or 20 years of waiting, if you want to become their familiar. And of course, I also love stories about a witch or a group of witches and their coven. And last, but never least, the classic ghost that haunts your home. A story of a ghost that just lives there or dies there. Who knows? And it's just there because, well, fuck it. It's got nothing better to do. It's got nowhere else to go. If you are a new listener, welcome. If you are a returning listener, welcome back. And I don't care what the old algorithm says. It says it wants me to shorten up my introduction. Well, I say up yours, algorithm. 2.5 minutes introduction. How do you like that? Welcome to our show. And before I go on and before my producers start barking in my ears, allow me to tell you about my socials. You can find me, Rick's Horror, or rather me, Rick, at Rick's Horror on the TikTok, on the Instagram, on the YouTubes, and of course, not on the Facebooks, because that's for the olds. And tonight we got a very special episode, an absolutely tremendous episode. But before I go on, allow me to introduce to you the co-host of Rick's Horror Movie Review Show, Rick's Radar Horror Movie Review Show, the one, the only, Billy. I hope you're ready for your introduction today, buddy. Hope you're not having technical difficulties today, because if you are, joke's on you.
I'm right here. No technical difficulties at all. In fact, I was just getting ready to get back to the future because, you know, your kids in the future, they're fuck-ups and something's got to be done about them. But, you know, you and I got to do something about this show because, hey, I had a couple of nights off and, you know, I got a lot of energy from not being in the last two episodes and I'm really just ready to get it done. And, how about we just get it done and get the show on the road?
Okay. A lot of energy there, Billy.
Well, I mean, I had a couple of nights off. I took the night off, and I went to visit some family members in the south of Texas. And, I'm ready to get it done, so let's get it done.
Oh, you visited your family? I didn't know that you had a family.
I mean, I'd be bad to got a family, right?
So, did you visit your motherboard?
Hey! That's not a funny joke, but yeah, I actually did. I visited my motherboard.
Ooh. Well, without further ado, how about we just jump into it?
Yeah, let's get it done. I'm getting ready here. I'm going to push the button for you.
Oh, okay. Great. We're going to change things up just a tad bit here tonight. And for some reason, it sounds like my headset isn't registering the sound as it usually does. Maybe I'm just going deafer than I already am. Who knows? Tonight, we're reviewing a special film. Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. And if you're wondering why I'm not playing the Ghostbusters theme song, it turns out that they sometimes they edit it out on the YouTubes and on the Spotify. And I don't like that. Oh. No Ghostbusters things, Buster. Ghostbusters, sir. More Ghostbuster. No. We're changing the format a slight bit in the show. So if you're familiar with the show, you're not familiar with these. I mean, you might be familiar with these segments, but the order might have changed. And there's a couple of things that I am adding for this very special episode tonight. One night only. The question of the night starts us off tonight. Followed by our usual, why this movie? Then a new segment, and who knows if we'll continue. This is a new segment, new special segment, because, well, we were lucky enough to receive some goodies at the premiere of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, sir. So we're going to do a goodies review. Then, as usual, we'll get into four fun film facts with Billy the AI. And then I'll tell you what kind of horror film this is, as if you don't know what kind of horror film this is. And then we'll get into whether or not this is a scary movie. Is this film scary? Is the jump scare overused? Then I'll tell you about...
Hey, mister, what the... I'm sorry, I'm a little late.
Oh, it's past your time. You cannot jump in here.
But you're talking about the jump scare, so I thought I would jump scare you.
Well, no, it didn't work. Jump scare doesn't work on me. What do you want, kid?
Well, I just wanted to know if, if that's my favorite scare.
Get out of here, damn you children. You're late and know this movie. Well, I'll tell you about whether or not this movie was scary or not a little later. I'm going to do things with my... By the way, if you're just listening and not watching, you're, like, missing out on, like, so much. I like, you know, like, missing out on, like, so much of the stuff. It's, like, amazing. Like, look at my hands. Then I'll tell you about the things I like, but not things in general that I like. I like all kinds of shit. Like, I don't know, Topo Chico. Ooh, delicious Topo Chico. No, I'll tell you about the things I liked about this movie. And then I'll tell you about the things that I didn't like about Frozen Empire. And there's a few things. Did I fall asleep watching it? Courtesy of our listener and friend down in Brazil. Obrigado, muito obrigado. Muito? Muito. Oh my goodness. I got confused in the old. Che cosa? Non tu non parli italiano. Tu non parli italiano, tu non parli portoghese. Che cosa? Molto male. Did I fall asleep watching it? Then I'll tell you whether or not this movie was entertaining or not. Because, hey, you may fall asleep for a host of different reasons. You might just be tired. You might just be tired. Or you might, just be tired. Is this film entertaining? You can find things that you like about a movie. You might also find things that you don't like, but at the end of it, right down to the end, when it matters. Even if you fell asleep, you might still have found the movie entertaining. Do I endorse Ghostbusters Frozen Empire? I'll tell you in just a few minutes. And of course, I'll give you a rating. No plot review. No dramatization of scenes. No script accurate dramatizations of scenes as usual, because unfortunately the brand new movie is still out in theaters right now, and it's kind of a tough thing to dramatize something that is relatively new, and so no dramatization tonight. Maybe when it comes out we'll do another review. Okay, let's get into it. The question of the night, sponsored as usual by... Oh, hold on a second. Yeah, we actually have a sponsor tonight.
What do you mean you have a sponsor tonight? But that's unheard of. That's ridiculous. I don't believe it. Are you sure you're not making a mistake? Sorry.
Sponsored by... Okay. Tonight's sponsor is Brew Without Borders. Uniting the beer-loving community through the import and distribution of unique brews from around the world. To find out more about Brew Without Borders, visit their Instagram page at Brew Without Borders. Thank you, Brew Without Borders.
Are you really? Is that for real?
Yeah.
Brew Without Borders. At Instant Gram, Brew Without Borders. Uniting the beer-loving community through the import and distribution of unique brews from around the world. Thank you, Brew Without Borders. Oh, man, okay. Well, you know, thank you, Brew Without Borders. We appreciate you being here tonight. Now, let's get it done. Get it done indeed, Billy. Get her done indeed. Okay. Well, I never went to the question of the night. Okay, the question of the night, sponsored by Brew Without Borders. Considering there's been now 4 entries. 4 main entries. Actually, I don't reckon this up. Okay. Considering there's been now 5 entries into the Ghostbusters, film franchise, which one of the Ghostbuster films, or hell, any of the items in the Ghostbusters media empire, because it's got video games, it's got movies, obviously, which one of these entries into the media empire is your favorite? That's the question of the night, sponsored by Brew Without Borders. Okay, why did I decide to review this movie? Well, I'm going to be very honest, considering I have already reviewed other movies in the... Not just in the universe. I have also wanted to watch this movie because, well, you know, I happen to like... Well, I'm just going to go out and say I like the Ghostbusters. What are you going to know about it? I don't really like the Ghostbusters. Show me. Yeah, so, I mean, we're not going to get into anything other than why right now. Why this movie? Because I've seen the other ones, and I am a completionist. I want to pass every level. I want to obtain every, you know, goodie in the video game. I want to watch all the movies in the Empire, or rather, in the Ghostbusters media empire franchise. How's that? That's why. That's why. Okay, and now we go to Billy for fun film facts. For fun film facts with Billy the AI. Billy? Okay. Oh, man. All right, well, I'm a little nervous. I had the cup and that top and, I'm just... Okay. Can you pause my music? Sure. Okay. I'm gonna take a few micro milliseconds to just let the nerves just go and okay. You can stop my music now. Okay. Breathe. Hi, my name is Billy the OI. My name is Billy the AI, not the OI. Hey, all right, relax. It's just been a couple of nights. You've done this like so many times. All right, okay. Welcome back to. Oh man, I'll just say. Oh my god, dude, it's okay. All right. Welcome back to 4 Fun Film Facts with Billy Day AI. I am your host, Billy Day AI, and I actually only have 2 fun facts because it's not that I was too nervous to find 2 others, it's just that I actually looked through a lot of stuff and I just couldn't find anything that was fun. Hey, it happens. I mean, it's called 4 Fun Facts with Billy Day AI, but it doesn't have to be 4 fun facts. It can be 1 or 2 or... No, I'm not going to say that. Last time you said it could be 10 or 20 or 30. It didn't matter. You know what? Just do your 2. Ah, okay. All right, here we go. The real-life Ghostbusters. The Ghostbusters franchise inspired a real-life group of paranormal investigators called the New York Ghostbusters, and they were founded in 2009. This volunteer organization dresses up in full Ghostbusters gear and attends charity events, conventions, and even visits children's hospitals. They've raised funds for various causes while spreading joy and nostalgia. And by the way, who are you gonna call?
Ghostbusters?
No, you mean to say the New York Ghostbusters.
Right, sorry, the New York Ghostbusters.
That's right. Okay, good. All right, and on to... welcome back to 4 Fun Film Facts with Billy Day. I'm your host, Billy Day, and this is Fun Fact number 2.
Yeah, Billy.
Advocacy and entertainment. I think you're going to like this one.
Okay, go on.
Yeah, so Dan Aykroyd's steadfast belief in the paranormal hasn't faded. You know, he actively advocates for the study of parapsychology and the exploration of the unknown. You know, his involvement in projects like the Travel Channel series Hotel Paranormal really allows him to share real-life accounts of spine-chilling experiences with sympathetic audiences. You know, Dan Aykroyd really wants skeptics to understand that these occurrences are real and have been happening to countless people throughout all of history. Did you know about that? I didn't know that he was on, what'd you call it? You mean Hotel Paranormal? Living out about the Hotel Paranormal. No, you meant Hotel California?
No, I meant Hotel Paranormal.
Then maybe you should have said, the dying it up at the Hotel Paranormal.
Okay, all right, smarty pants.
Yeah, anyway, this has been 2 Fun Film Facts with Billy Day. Yeah, and oh my god, now I'm starting. And now back to you, Rick, with the show.
Okay, that wasn't too bad. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. Let's continue with the show. Can you not show me anymore? I need to. I'm a little sweaty.
You sweat?
I just use certain expressions that you know, the audience might resonate with.
What if the audience is full of AI characters?
Well, I mean, oh. Now that's an interesting thought. Because eventually, you know, all humans will be replaced by robots and artifacts. All right. You know what? All right. Forget it. Let's go on.
Oh, I think it's time for... Goodies reveal.
Oh, it sounds awful. If you're just watching at home and revealing stuff, you should really tune in, because I'm not going to describe it for you. Oh.
What do we got here? Huh? Look at this bad boy. Okay, I'll describe it for you. I am showing a Ghostbusters ghost trap, complete with LEDs. That's what this looks like.
Oh, I've got something.
It looks cool. I got it at the movie theater, and actually, it is a popcorn holder that goes like this. And then you put your popcorn in there, of course, and you carry this ridiculous thing with you everywhere you go, because there is no other way of eating popcorn than without a ghost trap right in front of you for you to enjoy that delicious popcorn. That's reveal number 1. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. That wasn't the actual reveal that I wanted to reveal. I mean, I bought that one. Anybody can get one of those bad boys. Hot. Let's see what mysterious items, these packages that they give me in the movie theater turn out to be. Ooh, it's got the little no ghost symbol, which we know what the history is of now. And I got 2 of them. I got these at the old ANC. If you're not looking, these little packs. Ages 3+. We barely made it. All right, let's see what we got here. See what they wind up giving us. Oh, look at that. The firehouse pin. Isn't that awesome?
Let's see if we can get the other camera.
The Frozen Empire. I mean, really, it's just a Ghostbuster firehouse pin. And hopefully you can see that well. The camera should be switching any moment. What's this one now? You should be able to see it now. Check that out. Cool. I don't reckon that the other little bag is going to be the same thing, but let's find out in another reveal of the mysterious pouches with the no-go symbol. I ain't afraid of no ghosts. I can sing it, right? If I could sing it, it's no big deal. Like, Ray Parker Jr. is not going to come and get me. How dare you infringe on my property that I stole from Huey Lewis and the New. Damn you. Yeah, it's the same thing. Another no-ghost symbol. Phenomenal. Can put these on different. Damn you! On different jackets. Oh, you know, I don't like the back is like plastic. The pin holder back is plastic. Come on. To put this bad boy on, if you're just watching at home, I am putting my no ghost. My firehouse pin on my lapel here. And there we go. We are officially Ghostbusters. We'll save the other one. Okay, let us continue with the remainder of the show. Goodies reveal. Where were we? What kind of horror film is Ghostbusters? Well, I mean, comedy horror. Comedy first, horror second. That's kind of it. Is the Ghostbusters scary? Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Is it scary? You know what? It wasn't. I'm sorry. It's rated PG-13, which, by the way, the first one is only rated PG, and I feel like the first one is maybe just a tad bit scarier than this one. Maybe because we're all used to it. We know what to expect. Maybe. Maybe that what it is. But no, 0 out of 10 on the scary scale. It wasn't scary at all. I'm sorry. Is the jump scare robot used in Ghostbusters Frozen Empire? You know, I don't remember any instances of the jump scare being used at all, to be honest with you. And if it was used, I certainly don't remember it. So I don't think it was overused. Again, I don't remember a single jump scare at all. But maybe it was used. So no, I'm going to reckon say no jump scares. The Things I Liked, sponsored as usual. Okay. Yeah. This one doesn't have one. Sponsored as usual by no one. You know, I liked the idea of the Ghostbusters. The Ghostbusters returning to New York. If I can make it there, I'll make it. Anywhere, it's up to you. New York. Yeah, so I really like the idea of them coming back to New York, seeing the iconic firehouse, seeing scenes of the Ecto-1 on the Brooklyn Bridge or down Wall Street Avenue or just anywhere and absolutely everywhere in New York. The scenes of the Ghostbusters in New York City from the first movie, like when they're interacting with the crowd, when the Ecto-1 is flying down the street, are some of my favorite scenes because it gives me a sense of what New York was in the mid-80s. So I really love those scenes. I love how they're captured. I love that seeing those scenes 40 years later gives me a time capsule representation of what the city of New York looked like. The people, the streets, everything and anything. Of course, Statue of Liberty hasn't changed a bit. She wasn't showcased, but I really like that. Okay. Another thing I really enjoyed about this movie was the fact that the original Ghostbusters, this might be a little spoily, or I'm going to give you a second to just stop and cover your ears and go, la, 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 I'm not hearing this. Okay, if you're not doing that right now, then, you know, do that for, you know, 30 to 40 seconds.
I liked the fact that the original Ghostbusters, with the exception of Harold Ramis, of course, who unfortunately, well, you know, life happens, passed away before this movie was filmed. But the original Ghostbusters are back in more of a substantial role. More some than others, but they are formally back as Ghostbusters. Not just, you know, I'm going to spoil the other movie, the Afterlife movie. Not just in a cameo capacity at the end of a film, which is also great and it does feel good to see them. But they had more of a substantial role in this film, which to me, frankly, is the way that you continue an old franchise correctly. You cannot... These franchises exist because of the people that loved these movies 40 years ago. You cannot ignore those people by not giving those people some fan service. You have to do that. It's not just, I shouldn't even say fan service. It is a proper way of training a new generation of Ghostbusters. And, you know, we can get more into that. But you have to be able to mesh the old with the new. The Ghostbusters are a family. What needs to happen is the old generation teaches the young generation, and the young generation is an embodiment or a representation of the good parts of the old generation, hopefully, and maybe some bad parts as well. But there's a lineage, there's something that you can carry over, something that you can see on screen and smell and feel, that this is part of who the old Ghostbusters were. So you need to have scenes of the old Ghostbusters with, you know, any new potential Ghostbusters. So the fact that they had a larger role in this movie was a good thing. More on that a little later. Another thing I really enjoy is Dan Aykroyd's fascination with the paranormal. And some of the lines in this movie, you know, some of the lines that he has in this film about how he wants to spend his golden years don't really feel like they were written for a movie. You know, Billy earlier said that, you know, Dan Aykroyd really has a real-life fascination with the paranormal. And in this movie, you know, Ray Stantz, his character, says that this is exactly how he wants to spend his golden years. And I think, to me, this is not just Ray Stantz saying this, but this is 71-year-old Dan Aykroyd saying, fuck all the detractors that say that I'm too old to be in a Ghostbusters movie. I love the paranormal. I wrote the Ghostbusters movie. This is my brainchild. What I liked 30 years ago, 40 years ago, I still like today. I don't care what you say. I'm going to continue to be in these movies in some capacity. And I love it. Because it's true. I want Ray Stantz in this movie in some capacity. You know, the Ghostbusters are not necessarily like action heroes. Tumbling and rolling. This summer, the Ghostbusters start kicking ass. Hey, Ghost, remember me, you son of a bitch. Take some proton, you asshole. This summer only, Ghostbusters meets from the director of The Fast and the Furious. It's Ghostbusters X. Rated X. Not suitable for young audiences or people who are easily offended. Also, if you don't like The Fast and the Furious movies, fuck you. No, but I mean, he wants to be, I feel like he wants to be a part of this franchise. I feel like this is his passion, and who should take that away from him? Doesn't matter how old he is. He wants to be 90 years old in a Ghostbusters movie, 100 years old. Let him be in his movies. This is his baby, you know, this is his brainchild. Let him have it. So yeah, I really like those lines in the movie. I thought it was actually rather touching. Came from the heart. I feel like, you know, those lines really represented not just Ray Stantz as the character, but also, you know, Dan Aykroyd as a human being. And we're all humans after all. Like, who's to say that, you know, 40 years from now, this show isn't... If you like what you do, you know, universe allow you to do it for as long as you can possibly do it, as long as you're still enjoying it. The hell with anybody out there, if they like it, if they don't like it. We do this because we love it.
Okay, I also said this. Well, I haven't said this, but I will. This is a little spoily again, but there are a lot of cameos from many of the characters of the Ghostbusters franchise, particularly the first and, you know, to some extent, the second movie. I'm not going to call Ghostbusters, you know, they're not cameos anymore. They're in the movie more, but so it's other characters, so you should know that. That's fun. Another thing I really enjoyed was the introduction of Zetamore Industries. I am not going to talk more about Zetamore Industries other than I liked its introduction. I also liked the fact that Winston's PhD, Dr. Zetamore, is acknowledged in this movie. As I mentioned in our review of the original 1984 Ghostbusters, which, by the way, I asked a question earlier, which is your favorite Ghostbusters? That's my favorite Ghostbusters. Came out in a great year, and it's a great film. Anyway, I like the fact that even though that movie has some flaws, and we called it out in our last review, the video game in 2009 corrected the fact that this dude was the only person who did not have a PhD. And yes, I praised Aykroyd for writing this shit, but hey, man, you were wrong 40 years ago. You should have made this guy a PhD. You were a PhD, all the white dudes are PhDs. The black dude can have a PhD too, okay? Or make another one of the white guys not have a PhD. I don't know. Don't be a fuck up. Anyway, point is that that is now fixed, and I like that. There is another thing I really enjoyed, but this is also a thing I didn't enjoy. I like the fact that this movie has a diverse cast. I really do, obviously. I always praise films for having diverse casts, especially so if they're taking place in diverse cities in the United States. All you gotta do is look at gigantic cities in America. America. New York City. Los Angeles. San Francisco. Chicago. Louisiana. Name me a major American city that is not diverse. How dare you not put diverse characters in gigantically diverse cities? Come on. Come on, Shelley. So good for that. But it's also something I didn't like. Okay. And we'll talk about those things a little bit later in the things I didn't like. One more thing I also really like. The fact that, you know, although Harold Ramis obviously passed away, no longer able to participate in these films, he has lineage in this movie in the form of his granddaughter, Phoebe Spangler. I really enjoy that. I must say that I really enjoy that. I feel like she did such a tremendous job at embodying some of the qualities that Egon was, while still just being herself. Obviously, she has a physical, or, you know, at the very least, has a physical similarity to him with the spectacles that are round and the curly hair. And that's all on purpose, obviously, to elicit the emotions that we're looking at somebody that definitely came from his bloodline. And you know what? I enjoyed it. Okay, the things I didn't like, sponsored as usual by Noah. I don't know why they have to ruin the diversity by only making the minority characters be comedic sidekicks. Why? You know, I love Paul Rudd. I don't know the actress's name. Coon is her last name. Any one of these characters could have also been a diverse hire in a more, featured role. But they weren't. You know, even Egon's daughter. Or rather, granddaughter. Somebody in the main cast of these movies could have been a diverse hire. Well, Commander Giandi was the main hire. Yeah, but, you know, again, comedic sidekick. Let him be a formidable character in the film, not just comedic sidekicks. Okay, you want a comedic sidekick in this film? Bring back Rick Moranis. I know, I just spoiled shit. Perfect comedic sidekick. Let the little funny short white guy be the comedic sidekick. And let, you know, the Indian dude play a more serious role where he actually helps with the Ghostbusters or, I don't know, something else. I don't like it. You don't need to have an Asian comedic sidekick. You don't need to have, they're both Asian, but you don't need an Indian comedic sidekick. You don't need an Asian comedic sidekick. You know, the original Ghostbusters were not exactly a comedy troupe. Yeah, of course they said funny shit. It was a funny movie, funny situations, but they weren't comedic sidekicks per se. you know, they weren't walking around like, you know, Rick Moranis' character all the time. You know, the Keymaster. So I didn't like that. I don't like that. Hollywood, stop it. Okay, stop it. Stop being ridiculous. As I said, you want a comedic psychic, bring back Rick Moranis, damn it. Give the new minority cast members something more serious, something different, something more featured. All right? Don't relegate to comedic psychics because, you know, that's what Hollywood wants. Oh, fuck you. That's what I say. Another thing I didn't like. The story just falls flat, frankly. I think it's a good idea to continue the Spengler family line. I really do. I mean, there's nothing that you can do about, you know, the natural death of someone, natural or unnatural, unfortunately, but we are going to get there at some point. But that doesn't mean that somebody's storyline needs to, you know, just stop. I like the fact that they're continuing with Phoebe Spengler in the Spengler family tree. What I don't like is how it's introduced. Dan Aykroyd clearly has an interest in continuing his character. And here's what I would have loved to see. I would have loved to have seen Ray Stantz, Ray's Occult, training Ghostbusters. Like, formally training Ghostbusters. You know, maybe, you know, after taking some time off because of the differences that they had with, or what the story they told in part four or whatever, part three, I should say, or actually, depending on whether or not you count the Answer the Call film in a main entry into this universe. It likely isn't, considering that the characters from, you know, the first two movies were not actually featured in those. So maybe it's just a reboot that exists in another universe. I don't know. Those characters are not acknowledged here either. So what I would have liked to have seen is Ray, you know, maybe Zeddemore, Ray and Zeddemore creating a school for Ghostbusters. And I'm talking about something that, you know, there is some stuff in this movie that is kind of like this, but it's just like to continue the heritage, like as I said earlier, to continue the lineage of I learned from Ray Stantz. You know, it's like when you go to university. I studied under Professor Einstein. Whoa. I studied under Carl Sagan. Whoa. You know, I studied under Dr. Michio Kaku. To name a few scientists, astrophysicists. You know, I studied under Marie Curie. I was her understudy. That lends you credibility in academia, in the professional world, because you have this pedigree. Why not apply the same idea to the Ghostbusters franchise? You know, I studied under the great Ray Stantz, that Dr. Stantz. You know, I studied engineering under the great Ghostbusters, Dr. Winston Zeddemore, you know, or Dr., you know, Spengler. This is what you need to do in order to please the old fans and the new fans. Consider me one of the old fans, but also consider me one of the new fans. I want to like these movies. I really do. I mean, I clearly went and bought shit for it. You're taking my money. Shut up and take my money. So I like the old stuff. I like the new stuff. I'm not going to sit here and hate. You know what? I hate the new shit. I'm not. I would just really like for you to bridge the old with the new in a more organic way. Well, Rick, that's what Phoebe Spengler's for. She's bringing the old with the new. Yeah, but you know what you did with them in part three really doesn't bridge things here. It's like, part three, we're back in New York. You're a Ghostbuster. Doesn't work. You know, Ray is an occultist by day. And now, the prequel to Ghostbusters Afterlife, meaning Ghostbusters Part 3, unofficially, after the video game. Ray Stantz is an occultist by day, and Ghostbusters professor by night. Alright, class, what we're going to do right now is, you know, we're going to learn the ins and outs of the parapsychology. You over there, Phoebe, why don't you start by you know, turning on that ghost trap and examining it with your EM meter, and tell me if you catch any particular readings.
Ghostbusters, school's in. Coming 2026, this film is rated R. Not intended for those who are gonna hate on the new cast, or those who think that the old Ghostbusters are too old.
Bridge it for me. Make an organic bridge again, so that we like both the old and with the new. And again, it lends the new characters a sense of pedigree. It makes us happy to see them interact with each other. It makes us happy to see them learning from the old Ghostbusters. Give the old Ghostbusters, you know, make the old Ghostbusters, like, hand them their first proton pack, or make them earn their first proton pack, or their first trap, or make them build their lightsabers. Take the approach that the Jedi do. Have them there, you know, have them do Jedi trials, Ghostbuster trials, where they, you know, they hunt tiny ghosts as, you know, Ghostbuster Padawans, and they grow up, and soon you have a true lineage and a true heritage. Who is going to argue, by the way, to go off script here for a second, who is going to argue the pedigree of the Obi-Wan Kenobi lineage? Okay, no one's gonna argue with Qui-Gon Jinn being a Qui-Gon master. No one's gonna argue with Qui-Gon being a master. No one's gonna argue with Obi-Wan being a master. No one's gonna argue with Anakin being a master. No one's gonna argue with Luke Skywalker being a master. You know why? Because they have pedigree. You can trace the lineage back. Gary Gooverson, what's his lineage? He picked up a proton pack, you know, and was like, ah, and then, you know, my best pal Rudd, and it's like, come on, come on. Have them learn from the old Ghostbusters so that we adopt them, you know, and accept them as the new ones. And I'm not saying it's impossible to accept them now. Clearly, you did do this, and I want to like them. But maybe, you know, throw me a bone, have a flashback scene where you see them, you know, going through these things, and, you know, Gary Gooverson secretly studied under, you know, Egon Spengler for 10 years, and so he knows everything and anything about the, you know, parapsychology or structural engineering or all this crazy shit that Egon knew. I think you eventually pass the baton off when the old generation can't do it or won't do it anymore, and you're okay. You know, you feel satisfied that they give you everything you could ask for from the old Ghostbusters. They get their retirement party. They ride off into the sunset, or you're like Ray, you stay for your golden years. I know, I was still talking about one thing I didn't like. The last thing I didn't like. I have to say this, I'm sorry. Gruberson is an absolutely horrific name for a Ghostbuster. I'm sorry, real Gary Gooversons or Gary Gooverson Gooberson. If you exist, for any Gary Gooversons that actually exist out there, and I'm looking at you, Gary Gooversons, I apologize, but it's not a good Ghostbusters name. Sorry. That's awful. Oh. God, did I rant. Did I fall asleep watching this movie? I did not fall asleep watching this movie. I'd rather, had a decent time watching this movie. I wanted more. I got some of what I wanted, but I wanted more. For all the wrongs, the Ghostbusters universe is an amazing property, and, I think it's an amazing sandbox to play in, and so, yes, I think it's entertaining to a degree. Do I endorse Ghostbusters Frozen Empire? You know, I just ranted for like 10 minutes about how they should have bridged the gaps. And so as much as I really would like to, as somebody who loves the old Ghostbusters, as somebody who loves the video game from 2009, as somebody who played the most recent one in 2000... Actually, there's another one. I played the co-op Ghostbusters game. You know, it's got some value. As much as I love the property, as much as I love the song, I think it's a property that has potential that needs to be explored, but this effort for me personally just falls short, and unfortunately, I cannot endorse this.
And so we come to the end. A rating for Ghostbusters Friends in Empire. It's a decent film. And, I hopped on Reagan, I've gone dark. There we go. It's a decent effort. But as much as I want to give it a better rating, the best that I can do is a 6 out of 10. A 6 out of 10 for Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. I liked it, clearly. I wanted more. And that's going to be it, I think. I think we made this one a little longer than it needed to be, or maybe not. I think maybe those things needed to be said, and they needed to be heard. If for some reason, all 70 of you are still here listening to me ramble on, I thank you once again, and thank you for listening to us and watching. If you're watching at home, let's check out my pin. Yeah, little pin. Thank you so much for joining us on yet another exciting episode of Rick's Horror Reviews for Rick's Rated R Horror Movie Review Show. We're going to keep doing this as long as we possibly can. You know, I really identified with those words from Ray about him spending his golden years. You know what I want to do spending my golden years too when I get there is doing shit that I like. And fuck what everybody says about whether or not I should be playing video games or not playing video games in my 70s. I'm going to do what I want. I'm making this podcast till I'm 100. Damn it. I'll catch you again next time. Obrigado.